I'd like to begin this morning with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we are gathered together to worship your Son, and we pray that you be with us this day and guide us by your Holy Spirit and open the meaning of Scripture to us and prepare our hearts that we're able to receive it. We pray this in his name. Amen. I'd like to welcome those who are with us by means of tape this morning and invite you with us to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. We're worshiping back in the town hall and out in the middle of the cornfield again, getting started just a little bit later because there's a bridge that's out about a bow shot and a half away from the place where we hold our services. And so I had to take a little bit of detour, and I got to see a little country around Beaver Dam that I've never seen before. I did find Lost Lake. I'm not sure where it's at, but I found it. And finally, we got here. The highlight of the trip for me, I guess, was seeing a little flock of sandhill cranes. It's another sign of spring here in Wisconsin. And if you've ever seen these birds in flight, it's one of the most beautiful sights I think you will see in all creation. It reminds me of poetry in motion. And this is another sign that spring is here. And when I get home, I'm going to put the snow shovels away. I think we're safe in doing that. I mean, seven sandhill cranes can't be wrong, can they? So hopefully spring has sprung, and Tuesday, I guess, is supposed to get up in the 70s, so we're waiting for that. We're looking at Matthew chapter 25 today, a section beginning at verse 14. It's we're taking kind of a long section, verses 14 to 30. And there are some questions in it. I'm not sure we've got everything straight in it, but the main teaching comes through. And one of the things that you notice as you study Scripture is the perfect balance that the Holy Spirit has. And you see this balance when you take a book like we're taking, like the book of Matthew, and you go through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and not skipping around, but taking everything as they come, and then you see the balance that the Holy Spirit has. Now, last time, in opening the 25th chapter, we had the parable of the 10 virgins. And in this parable, the virgins were waiting. Now we have the parable of the talents, and we find the servants working. Waiting and working. And then both of these things are true. Scripture teaches both. And then there's this beautiful balance between faith and works. That's what we see here. Faith and good works. Now we're going to read through and take things as they come, starting in verse 14 and verse 15. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Let's look at a few of the terms here that give us a clue as to what's happening. It's a man who's traveling away to a far country. Now, the far country gives us a clue. If you look in Luke chapter 15, verse 13, and you don't have to look that up, but that's the parable of the prodigal son. And if you look at that parable, Luke chapter 15, I'm going to beginning to read from verse 11. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. You know the parable of the prodigal son. And didn't want to obey his father, didn't want to live under his father's rule anymore, so he took his share of the inheritance. He even had the gall to ask his father for it before his father died. And he took it and he moved away to a far country. And that's exactly what Adam did in the Garden of Eden when he sinned against God. He rebelled against God. He didn't want to live God's way anymore. So man, you know, he took us with him. We are a long, long ways from heaven. We're into a far country. And when Jesus Christ left heaven and came down to us, he came to us in the far country. And the man here is Jesus Christ. And now he's going back to his Father, and so he's going to a far country. Heaven is indeed a far country, a long, long ways away from where we are. And in John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Where did he go? He went to heaven, back into a far country. So this man, who is Jesus, he's taking his journey into a far country. Now, he's got some servants there, and notice they're his own servants. And he delivered unto them his goods. You and I are servants of Jesus Christ. Either that or we're servants of the devil, one of the two. But finally, we're all under Christ, and we either obey or we disobey. And what we have is not our own. It's his goods, notice. And now he talks about three different servants here, singling them out. He gives talents to them, and a talent was kind of a weight or a measure. It seems sometimes to have been money, but I think here it probably entails everything. And we talk about people that have different talents, don't we? Some people have a talent for baseball, some have a talent for sewing, or some have a talent for singing. Well, these are, I think, everything's included under here. Under this, he gives the people talents. One, he gives five talents, another two, another one, according to the ability that they had. And this ability also comes from God, doesn't it? And then, beginning at verse 16 and moving on a little ahead, we're going to read through again a few verses. "He that had received five talents went and traded with the same and made other five talents." So he traded his five talents, he got five more. "And likewise, he that received two, he also gained two more," other two. "But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." Now, there's a few things here. First of all, it is true spiritually that we're all equal, isn't it? Now, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, we're all lost and condemned by nature. So there's equality when it comes to that. Now, when it comes to physical things, it's not true that we've all been created equal. People have different skills and different abilities. And, you know, Tiger Woods may be the best golfer that's ever lived. And he's worked hard at that. When he was five, he was out drawing diagrams of how the different irons work, and he was hitting before that. But he has a natural ability that makes him very good in golf, and you and I could probably spend as much time practicing or even more and never come up to what he is. I remember when I was little, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball pitcher, and I worked pretty hard at that. And then I started pitching softball and got in a church league, and I got pretty good. At least I thought I was pretty good. And then I hurt a tendon in my elbow once, and I thought that was better. And I went and had an exhibition game in the Classic League, which was the best league in lacrosse. I really wanted to get into that. And finally got into that, and I had an exhibition game. We played a farm team out in the baseball diamond was kind of out in the wood, out in the field, and there's a cornfield in back of it. And I have never seen guys hit the ball as far as these guys hit it. I would throw as fast as I could, and the ball would end up in the center field out in the cornfield somewhere. Lost three or four balls during the game. And it kind of shattered my idea of being a major league pitcher. Yeah, I just did not have the natural ability to do it. And so as we look at ourselves, you know, the children of God have a beautiful way of accepting this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, the Lord says this: "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." So, you know, you have talents that God has given you. They come from the Holy Spirit, and other people may not have them, at least to the degree you've gotten, and maybe they have talents you don't have. But here you had one person had five talents, another had two, another had one. They were not all treated the same. They had different abilities according to what God gave them. Now, the key thing here is that God has equal love for all of his children. He doesn't play favorites. I remember one time, and I forget who it was, but it was it had to do with the mother of the President of the United States. And her son was President of the United States. And a reporter came to her and asked her, I'll bet you're really proud of your son, aren't you? And she said, which son? I have two. And she was proud of both of them. She didn't love the one more who was President of the United States than she did the other one. They love equal. And God loves all of his children equally too. There's no playing favorites, no favoring one over the other. But it's still true that we have different gifts and different abilities. Now you will notice that in these verses we just read, there were two of the servants that were doing something with the talents that God had given them. And there was one servant that wasn't doing anything. He took the talent that God gave him and went and buried it. Buried it in the dirt. Now the owner comes back in verse 19. We're going to continue here at verses 19 and following. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And you know, Jesus says too, I'm going to come back again. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Then remember what he said? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's gone away to a far country, but he's going to come back. And here, the owner came back too. The Lord of the servants came back, and now he's going to see what they did with what he gave them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, five more, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents more. In other words, I worked with what you gave me. I did something with what you gave me, and now I've got more to give back to you. In other words, I produced fruit. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now let's go on to the next one, verse 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. First of all, I don't see any bragging in the two servants here. They're not boasting to Christ about what they had done. The Lord came to take an account of what they had done, and they just told him. They just purely, simply told him. And I think you see the same thing in as far as Jesus goes. In John chapter 17, verse 4, he says this. He's praying to his Father, and he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, he didn't do that in a boastful manner. He was just presenting the facts. Father, you sent me to do a work. I finished it. Or you think of something like Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, it's true that he's using the word I there, but it's not done in a boastful way. And if you read other things that Paul said, you know very, very well that he gave glory to the Holy Spirit for this. He's not saying, I did it, I did it, I did it. But the fact of the matter is, the fruit is born. God doesn't come down and tie fruit on your branches. You bear it. And this is what's happening here. The first two servants had borne fruit. And when Christ came to hold them to account for what they had done, this is it. This is what he had done. And notice now, he said the same thing to both of them, didn't he? The first one had been given five talents. He said, I gave five, I've returned ten. I've, earned five more. The second one had been given two. And he came back to the Lord. The Lord came to him and he said, oh, here's two more. The Lord didn't say, well, you should have gained more. This other guy gave me five more. You only given me two. He didn't say that. He didn't criticize him at all for that. In fact, he spoke the same words to both of them, didn't he? The very same words were spoken to both of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. But there's only one thing that the Lord requires of you and me, and that's not results. Not results at all. It's being faithful. Work with what Jesus Christ has given you. You be faithful in doing what the Lord wants you to do. That's all He requires. Remember Mary of Bethany. She's the woman that came one time when Jesus was eating supper. And she came and walked into the room carrying a box, an alabaster box of a very precious ointment. It must have been worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And she broke it and poured it over the feet of Jesus. Now Judas was standing there and he said, to what purpose is this waste? Why did you waste all this? You could have sold it and the money could have been given to the poor. Judas called it a waste. And what he was really saying is, Jesus Christ isn't worth this much. You shouldn't have wasted the ointment by pouring it on him. That's what Judas was saying. Jesus defended her. She didn't have to say anything. He said, leave her alone. She's done a good work on me. So, you know, we don't care what Judas thinks. We don't care what anybody else thinks. It's what Jesus thinks that counts. And when Jesus comes back, if he says to you, well done, good and faithful servant, what do you care what anybody else says? That's the main thing. You want to please him. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. You're his servant. He's the one you love. That's one thing. And another thing, remember what Jesus said about Mary of Bethany. He said, she has done what she could. And that's all God expects. He never expects you to do what you can't do, only what you can do. You do what you can do, and God will take care of the rest. That's what's being taught here. These first two servants did what they could. Now, the third guy, he went, and he had one talent. And he buried this thing in the dirt. And now the Lord comes back to him in verse 24. And he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that which is thine. You wonder where the man got his information, don't you? I knew that thou art a hard man. Now you think about that. Jesus, you're tough. You're tough to work for. You're a real cruel one, boy. You're a real winner. You think about that. Jesus Christ left his Father, left the glories of heaven, came down to our world, took upon himself a body like ours, human, became a human being, and lived and kept all of God's law, and then offered up himself on the cross for you and me. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. Why did he do it? Because he loved you, that's why. He took all the punishment that you had coming to you, and he took it on himself, and he suffered in hell for you because he loved you, and he suffered for this guy too. And now this guy says, oh, boy, I knew you're really mean, boy. You're a tough one. You're a hard man. And I was afraid. I didn't want to lose anything, so I took what you gave me, and I buried it in the dirt. Now you go dig it up and you can have it back. The guy was deceived by the devil, that's for sure. Jesus Christ is not a hard man, but the man's going to be judged out of his own words. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, You knew that I reaped where I sowed not. That's what you said. And I gather where I have not strawed. You ought therefore have to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. If you really believe what you said, then you at least you should have acted on your own words and done something about it, but you didn't. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And then he said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The servant here that didn't do anything ends up down in the pit. And the Greek says, there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Yeah. Doesn't this section beautifully balance off what we had last time? There you had the 10 virgins who were waiting. But here you've got servants who are working. We should be doing both, waiting and working. And, you know, you've got a lot of people who call themselves Christians today that really don't feel there's anything they should be doing at all. They say, I know that Jesus died for my sins, and that's all I need. And so instead of producing fruit, they take the talents that God has given them and bury them in the dirt, and they live for this world. And they think that when they come, Christ is going to usher them into eternal glory. They don't care about his commands. They don't care anything about living for him. The hymn that we just sung a few minutes ago, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Let them do that. They say, Lord, I'm not going to give you my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what you say. But I believe you're my Savior. And when you come, I want to go into your kingdom with you. It's not going to work. We've got to be waiting, yes, but we've also got to be working. I really think that this whole section really could be explained if we look at Luke chapter 3, and I'd like you to do that right now. I just thought of that last night, trying to think of how we could best explain this thing, what it means to use the talents that God has given you. What does that mean? And if you look at Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, John the Baptist is out by the Jordan River and he's baptizing. And different people come to him and he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. The Savior is here. He's coming. God is coming. And in verse 10, the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? In other words, you've told us that the Savior is coming now. What are we supposed to do to get ready for him? I remember in this parable that we're studying, the man moved away, but he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. Now, what are we supposed to do to get ready for his coming? Sit here and not do anything? Well, John the Baptist answered them, he that has 2 coats, let him impart to him that has none. And he that has food, let him do likewise. In other words, use what God has given you to help others who are in need. If you have 2 coats, and it's getting to be winter, it's getting to be cold out, and you see somebody that's destitute and they don't have any, give them one. If you've got plenty of food and you see somebody that doesn't have any, give them some. That's how you're getting ready for the coming of Christ. Then, in verse 12, also came the publicans to be baptized. You know, publicans, man, these guys were hated. They were tax collectors. They worked for the Roman government. If ever there was one class of people in the Holy Land that were hated, it was the publicans. Nobody liked them. And now these publicans came to John. They repented. They came to John. They said, Master, what shall we do? And he didn't say, quit your job. You shouldn't even be a tax collector. Quit your job and go study at the seminary and start preaching. He didn't say that. He said, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Don't charge people more taxes than what you should. In other words, you're a tax collector, you still be a tax collector. But be an honest one. Be an honest one. And the soldiers likewise. Now a bunch of soldiers come, probably Roman soldiers, and the Jews hated them. Roman soldiers were hated, I suppose, as much as the publicans were. Roman soldiers had conquered the land. There were Roman garrisons throughout the country. Everybody hated the Roman soldier. But some of these Roman soldiers repented, and they came to John the Baptist and said, what should we do? And he didn't say, desert the army. I don't want you to be members of the Roman army anymore. Quit. Leave your post and desert. He didn't say that. He said, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. I think you could summarize this by saying, be an honest soldier, right? Be an honest one. God has given you the talent to be a soldier in a Roman army. Not everybody can do that. You be a good soldier. You be an honest one. And you serve your Lord by being a soldier in a Roman army. And you serve your Lord by being a publican, a tax collector. Do it right. And what's he saying to you and to me? And if you're in school, your students, be a good student. Use the ability that Christ has given you to further your life, further his, bring forth fruit. Use the talents he's given you to the best of your ability. That's what he's saying. If you're a housewife, be a good housewife. If you're a factory worker, be a good factory worker. If you're a farmer, be a good farmer. If you're a tax collector, be a good tax collector. Live according to the word of God. That's producing fruit. And then when he comes, you're going to be ready. I think we could summarize it this way. Pray as if everything depends upon God, but work as if everything depends upon you. That's what he's saying here. And we'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you have given to each one of us different talents and abilities. And these talents and abilities really are yours. And while it's true that in a certain sense we're waiting for you to come, it's also true that we should be working and producing fruit. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will dwell within us in fullest measure and guide our lives, that we may place our bodies as a living sacrifice on your altar, that we may produce fruit for you, and that we may honor and glorify you in everything that we say, in everything that we think, in everything that we do. We pray this in your name. Amen.